God is so good. Could we just continue in that worship? I feel like we can get to a next level and a new place in God. I believe that we're not done in our worship and our praise unto Him. God, we invite You, O God. God is he's a miraculous God. When you ask God of things, he truly comes and he gives you exactly what you need or what you had desired, even in those opportunities or in those places where you did not think he was going to come. And I have just a quick testimony that when I look back on it, I kind of laugh at myself because I wasn't being, I guess, spiritually discerning, or I wasn't looking for like the opportunity at the time. And so I was at work, and there's a little box that we have with a bunch of watches, and no one comes into work to buy watches. Like, it's kind of like a thing that we all talk about, like, oh, there's someone by the watch, can you go get that new guy? Because you're going to be there, they're going to look at every single watch, they're going to try on every single watch, they're going to put it on, they're going to be like, wow, it looks great, thank you. And they're going to leave, and it's about 20, 30 minutes of your time, and you made no sale. And so there was a man I thought was his girlfriend or his wife, ended up being his sister, looking at watches, and one of the guys that I work with was like, go ahead, new guy. And so I look at him and like roll my eyes like, awesome, 30 minutes of my time to go talk to this guy about watches. And I get there and we start talking about watches. And we talked about the watch for maybe 2 minutes. And then we started talking about dreams and aspirations. And as we begin to talk about dreams and aspirations, we talked about school. And as we talked about school, we then started talking about God. And his name is Mohammed, and he's a Muslim, but he knows that there's something else. There's that next step that he's searching for. And as I'm having this conversation with him, I think back at when I rolled my eyes at my coworker, like, yeah, I'm really going to have to do this. But I didn't know the opportunity God was giving me. God, I didn't know what God had for me in this conversation. And even going to it, I was kind of closed off, but by the grace and the mercy of God, you know, I was still able to start to begin to talk about the things of God with this guy. And as we kept talking, he ended up saying, like, you're a really cool guy. I would love to be your friend. And I'm standing here at, like, the watches, like, literally in myself, just, wow, I can't believe this is happening. Like, why didn't I have a good spirit or a good mindset going into this conversation? And it really checked me. And that night I went home and I started looking for scriptures. And the funny thing was, is that morning I was reading the scripture, if you ask, he will give. And God just told me to go right back to that. And so instead I decided to read the whole chapter. And I would like to read some of the verses there today. We're going to go to Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. And this is the portion of scripture right before God is saying, whatever you ask for, I will give to you. If you ask for, you know, bread, I'm not going to give you a rock, and all these things. And it says, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And as I read that portion of scripture, within myself, I had said those words. You know, within myself, I don't want to talk to you. Like, I'm not even going to make money today from you. You're not going to buy anything from me. We all know it. Everyone in the room knows it. You're just here to waste my time. And I said that within myself. And when that came up, I just was burdened that how many times have I done that before? You know, we had this panel and we're trying to get Bible studies and we're going to talk about to people about God. But even in my flesh or even in my humanity, I will say that into myself, like, don't waste my time today. I don't have time for you. Everything else is going on. And in verse 8, it says, I shall say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And that second portion really gave me hope that even though, like, in my heart, I did not want to do that. In my heart, I didn't want to talk to this guy. I knew that there was probably another person coming in to buy a suit, and I was going to miss a sale. That at that perfect moment, I would give to him what he needed. And that was at the beginning of the week. And God drew, he checked me in my spirit, in my mind, in my heart from the very beginning. And throughout the rest of the week, I had more of an open mind. I had an open heart that any person that I would talk to in this moment, even though I'm at work, it could be an open door. And through that, God opened many open doors, talked to many people about God. I was kind of scared at first because, you know, my manager's right behind me talking about the Bible over the counter. Does that even, like, sound good? Like, I don't know if that's, like, is that a policy break or something? But I just, you know, went ahead, I did it, and it actually shows how much different I am in the workforce than the other Christians around me. And my manager took me aside and said that. He said, you're saying that you're Christian. Well, he's saying he's Christian too, but he curses. You know, he says he's Christian, but he DJs on the night in clubs. But here you are over the counter, you're talking about God. And there's something different about that. And I think that each and every one of us have that. We're all different than the other Christian to our left or to our right. And people notice those things, and they get hungry, and they desire, and they want those things from us. I believe that God is just giving us such opportunity in wherever we are, the opportunity to speak that word, to plant that seed, to make that friend. It's there for all of us. And I see it in my own life, and I attribute it to the prayers of this church. And when you guys have testimonies of things happening, attribute it to the church, to the Spirit of God, that is what he is doing today in the last days, that today is the midnight hour. You know, we've got one more hour before the bridegroom comes, and he's willing to do whatever he wants. He's willing to stretch forth that hand and do a miracle. And I just believe if we can continue in that thought, just keep that heart open, and every opportunity we have, just jump at it. And even if, you know, you were like me at the beginning of the week, and, you know, man, I don't want to be wasted, God has that grace and that mercy for us. Could we all stand? And so Pastor had asked me, could we pray for the land of Indonesia? There are earthquakes going on in there. There are many churches I'm in contact with some of the pastors there, and I haven't heard of any reports or anything, but I know that the earthquakes that happened prior to this earthquake, I believe it was like a 7.2, 7.6, and there was a few churches on the western side of Indonesia that were troubled. Some of them affected my direct family. So if we could just pray for the protection of Indonesia, and if this is what God has planned for this earth, that it would be a tool in his hand, a tool in his hand to bring men to their knees and to cry out to God. God, I pray, Jesus, that you use this, oh God. Your word says that there would these things would happen, oh God, that there would be earthquakes. Oh, Kiada Bashandara Boshiele Besata. I pray protection over the people, oh God. Protection over your church, oh God. Oh, we need you, Father. We need you, O God. Let your hand be a protection, O God. Let your word, O God, help us in this time of trouble. In the mighty name of Jesus, strengthen us, O God. Strengthen your church, Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Brandon. You can be seated. Please continue to keep the church in Indonesia in your prayers. I know Brandon traveled there last summer and ministered in many of those, or some of those churches. And as he mentioned, he has family there. And we will wait to hear what is going on. I know what the news is saying, but I'm sure we'll get some information shortly. And my intention is to let Brother Mel Berglund know that if we can be of assistance as a congregation, we will stand ready to do so. Amen. Can we pray again right now? Father, your word is going forth in this room. Your rhema. Hatarorobo sheta tata ye alala bahaye. Ilororoba sitia tarororoba sitia tata ye. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I can still remember with almost perfection the anxiety and the uncertainty that I felt in the weeks and days leading up to my wife giving birth to our first child as a first-time dad. First-time mom, not sure what to expect. We had lived about 5 or 6 years of our life at that point as just a married couple, having a good time, living life, whatever we wanted to do, pick up tent stakes, go wherever we wanted to go, weekend trips, nights out to dinner, whatever we wanted. And of course, you know, when you find out, hey, we're expecting our first child, you know that everything's getting ready to change. And so I remember the night, I will never, ever, some of you know this story, I won't share it today, but I will never, ever, ever, ever forget that night that my wife said to me, I think I'm in labor. And we went home, and we were coming from a party. We went home. It was late at night, and just a few hours later, we would end up at the hospital, and another 24 hours of labor would ensue. And I remember just feeling this helpless feeling of not sure what to do, and what is my part, and what am I supposed to do? My wife's in the pains of childbirth, and I'm just standing here like, yes, yes, you can do this, you can do this. Not sure what my role is in all of this, but I'm here and I'm about to. But yet, in the middle of all that, there were doctors and nurses around, and they had it all under control. The doctor knew exactly what was going to happen. He'd done this 100 times before. And the nurses knew exactly what to do, and the only fool in the room was me. And they looked at me as such from time to time as they scooted me out of the way to get closer and do what they needed to do, you know, stand back, Dad. few years ago, I decided to relive a little bit of my childhood, and I started buying some cows. And I bought some cows that were getting ready to have calves. Now, if you think becoming a father for the first time is got full of anxiety when you're in a hospital with people who know what they're doing, try owning a cow who's getting ready to have a calf. And she has no ability to speak to you. She has no ability to tell you when she's going to have the calf. She has no ability to tell you if she's going to need any assistance in the calving process. You're just going to get a big surprise one morning. And you're going to walk out there and there's going to be a baby calf laying on the ground. And you try your best to be there when it happens. You try your best to be around. But unfortunately, that first one, it was a snowy day. It was about 25, 30 degrees. Snoqualmie Pass was closed because of snow. I couldn't get over the pass. And the phone call came, your cow is having a calf in about 2 foot of snow. And I was so troubled by that. It was unbelievable to me. I called my dad. My dad happened to be close by. I called my dad. I said, is there any way? I know you're a busy guy. It's a Saturday morning. You're probably asleep at 7 a.m., but could you get to the barn and find out what's going on? I'm calling the farm supply store. Do you have chains? Do you have a calf puller? I didn't know anything was going on. All this anxiety I was feeling. So I got through that. And then this year we had another calf. She was over here. It was in May of this year, so it was a nice, warm Sunday night. There were no issues, no bad weather. And, of course, all the anxiety leading up to, you don't know a date. I saw a meme one time on Pinterest. A farmer had painted a sign and put it on the barn. It said, dear cows, please give us your due dates and let us know if you're going to need help. Because it's complete uncertainty. We have no idea. You're just one morning you walk out, and, oh, we got a calf. It just so happened that Sunday night, it was about 9 o'clock and my phone was ringing. It was Brother Jerry. And he had walked out in the pasture and found this calf. So I immediately ran out there. I got there, and you're standing around this thing. When a calf's born, they're just a limp noodle. They just lay there on the ground, and you feel absolutely helpless. There's nothing you can do for them. You know what they need to do. You know they need to get up. They need to walk around. They need to get the blood circulating. They need to start drinking from their mother. That's what happens. That's the natural process. But you're worried about it. You start reading online forums, and people are like, oh, you better pick them up. You better guide them to their mother. You better show them. And, you know, then there's other people, don't touch them. If you touch them, you're going to mess the process up. And so you got all this playing in your head. What do you do? How do you do this? Of course, I'd had some bad experiences with calves, and so I'm on high alert. But I decided on this one, you know what? I'm going to let him be. And we walked away from him in the dark at about 10:30 on a Sunday night. And the next morning, I woke up. I went out to the field. I found her, found him. And what do you know? That little booger had figured out all on his own, without any help, how to find milk, how to find water, how to find the rest of the herd, how to take care of himself. He hadn't even gone through classes yet. This dude wasn't even 24 hours old. It is the most amazing thing. I still stand here in awe today of how amazing that process is. Nobody teaches that baby cow when it hits the ground where to find the milk. They just get up and they go fight it. It's just unbelievable to me. The God-given process that unfolds. They know where to find water at. They sit there and they watch their mother eat grass. And you'll watch them. They'll observe their mother as their mother grazes in a field. And about 2-3 hours later, you'll see them stick their head down and start nibbling on some grass. Nobody teaches them. They don't go through calf classes. No matter how much a farmer stresses out about it, it just happens naturally. They just find their way. There's a portion of scripture I want to draw your attention to today. We're going somewhere here. Some of you are like, what in the world is going on? Just walked into FFA class. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. You see, the biggest struggle in that whole process that I just described as a producer is keeping your hands off of it. Because everything inside of you wants to pick that thing up and help it along, wants to guide it to its mother, wants to protect it and shelter it, and make sure that it's safe from all the harm around it. The neighbors even said to me, I can't believe you're going to leave that thing out there. There's coyotes in this field. And I would smile and play, yes, yes, I know there's coyotes here. But I dare that coyote to try to touch that calf if his mom's around. Because she's going to kick the snot out of him. And the other five or six of these running around, they'll kick the snot out of him too. It's their instinct. I don't have to go to mom and look her in the eyes and say, moo, 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 coyotes. Right? How silly is that? It's ridiculous. And we're all laughing here today, but in the spiritual, you're about not to laugh. We interfere with the process of God in much the same way. We try to get involved and remind God that his process, Brother Mason, that he created, he isn't good at anymore. The process and the plan that he put in place, he doesn't have the ability to perform it or to see it through to fruition. Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. This is how he decided. This is Jesus here describing the kingdom of God. Everybody say the kingdom of God. He's giving us some insight into his kingdom. He said, this is how my kingdom works. Now, this isn't comfortable to our flesh. This isn't comfortable to how we operate on a daily basis, especially if you're a hands-on type of person. Are there any hands-on type of people in the building here? You can raise your hand. I'm a hands-on type of person. I don't like to sit back and just watch things unravel. That's not my personality. I like to grab the unraveling and start trying to ravel it back up. Fix it. Sew it. I've worked together on several large projects with Brother Kendrick, and I appreciate the thoroughness that this young man goes to when we're putting on an event, and we've been involved with district stuff together, and I can't tell you how many countless times we're putting an event together, and I get a text or a phone call saying, so I got this, but has anybody thought of this? Nope. Thanks for bringing it up. Yep, these are the things that keep me awake at night. Right? We all have those tendencies where I got to get in the middle of this. I can't just let this play out and see how it works. I need to intercede. I need to step in and fix this because it's about to be a mess. So in Mark chapter 4 and verse 26, Jesus lays out how his kingdom is. In other words, he says, you can operate how you want to if you want. If you want to get your hands in the middle of what I'm doing, that's fine. You can do that. You can try to cook this up and put a little salt and a little pepper and needs more Worcestershire sauce, and blah, blah, blah. Or if you're going to participate in my kingdom, this is how it's going to roll. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground. Okay, I'm not so crazy. He's back to farming practice. Right? He said a farmer goes out there and he's going to plant corn. So he buys a bag of corn seed. Now, back when Jesus was talking about this, it was a little bit different. I was doing some studying on corn seed the other day. I wanted to plant some corn and was looking into maybe raising some corn commercially. And as I started doing research, I realized you can buy corn seed now. That's been, the corn seed has actually been dipped in insecticide. It's been dipped in a pesticide. It's also been dipped in a fertilizer. And so you can literally plant the kernel of corn in the ground and never touch it. Because it's special hybrid corn that doesn't even take water to grow. It just grows. Unbelievable stuff. Now, this wasn't the day that Jesus lived in. This was a different day. This was a day where a man had to go out with his oxen and he had to till a line in the ground with some sort of hand-chiseled plow. And he had to create a line, and then he had to take each of those seeds and he had to drop them in the ground by hand. And maybe he even covered them by hand. I'm not sure the whole process that they had of planting in Jesus' day, but he brings us back to this whole idea of a farmer planting seed into the ground, casting it into the ground. Verse 27 says, "And should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how." So, to put this in modern English, the Johnstone Revised Version, a farmer goes out with a bag of seed and he casts it into the soil. It's covered up. The seed is planted sometime in early spring. The farmer goes in and he goes to bed that night. He doesn't lay awake and worry about what's going on with my seed. How's this going to work out? Is the seed going to grow? What if I bought bad seed? What if the seed was worthless? What if the seed really wasn't dipped in insecticide? What if I need to go spray? Oh my goodness, I should get up and go check. Let me go read the bag again. Maybe I should Google this. Maybe I should Google and see if there's something I can do to make sure the seed grows. Oh, you know what? Oh my goodness, there's no rain in the forecast. Can I borrow a sprinkler? Has anybody got a sprinkler? Wait, did I buy the... You get the picture. Jesus says in his kingdom, when I am operating in the kingdom of God, there is a sowing process that happens. And then there's a releasing. Once the seed has left my hand, Brother Brandon, whether it's at the watch counter, whether it's at the checkout counter, wherever it's at, once the seed has left my hand, it's been sown into the ground. The farmer goes into his house and he goes to sleep and he doesn't worry about what happens. He doesn't run out every day and check. Nope, still nothing. Nope, still nothing. Oh man, I wonder if the rain I'm hearing beat on my house tonight is going to wash the seed out of the ground. Nothing. He just trusts. What he plants in the ground is going to grow. About this time last year, it was end of October, we were done with our pumpkins. And we had some pigs. So we decided we'll feed the pumpkins to the pigs. So we broke them apart in pieces and we threw them over the fence into the pig pen. That was all we did. The pigs really didn't eat them. They kicked them around. They weren't really interested in them. I don't know why, because pigs don't eat pumpkins. They left them there. About 4 or 5 months ago, I was out messing around in that same area, and I was like, bro, we got a pumpkin patch going on here. And I thought, I'm not going to water them. I'm not going to care for them. We'll just let them die. Well, I made the mistake of taking my wife down there to show her the pumpkin patch one night. She says, oh, no. You are not going to let this die. We are going to have our own pumpkin patch. I said, okay, well, if they can survive, then we'll leave them there. It's October, friend. Tomorrow's October 1st. And there are pumpkins on those vines that are about that big around. They didn't get a drop of water this summer. We had a hot summer. It was a dry summer. They didn't get a drop of water. I never weeded them. There's blackberry briars growing through the middle of them. I had to take a machete to whack the weeds out of the way just so I could get to the pumpkins and expose them. These things have been left for dead. Literally, just, I don't care about it. But somehow in the midst of those ugly, non-growing conditions, a seed that was planted, Brother Reuter, incidentally, I didn't even do it on purpose. It just happened by accident. Said, I'll show you. And it buried itself in some sort of soil, whatever means of soil that was there, it buried itself in that. In fact, the best part is, because it was the pig pen, I didn't even touch it. It was so gross and so nasty, I wouldn't even go in it until it dried out. In fact, Jerry might have been the first guy in it. He was brave enough to walk in that stuff. It was so gross. I'm telling you, this stuff had no touching whatsoever, and yet it grew. Some of the biggest pumpkins I've ever seen. Multiples. And that's the process that Jesus is talking about here in the book of Mark. He says, in my kingdom, when you sow a seed, you say, how do you sow a seed? Well, there's many ways to sow a seed. You could sow a seed in witnessing. What do we do when we sow a seed in witnessing? Well, you know, we get their phone number. We get their Snapchat account. We get their Instagram account. We get their Facebook account. We get their cell phone number. We get their email address. We get all these things so that we can bombard them over the next 6 weeks with daily communication, right? Some people do. They call it follow up. You better follow up, right? What about trusting the Lord that if he puts somebody in my path, if he puts soil in front of me and says, I need you to plant a seed of the word of God into somebody's life today, that I trust that the thing that I have sown will come to pass. The thing that I spoke into existence will grow. It will germinate and it will grow into something that he gets the glory for. Just like I can't take any credit for those ridiculous pumpkins that are growing in the pig pen. I can't take any credit when I simply plant the seed in faith and move on and let him do the work. Paul would say in the epistles, I believe it was in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, he said, some sow, some water, but God gives the increase. Only God knows the story that Brother Brandon Berglund shared with us just a few minutes ago. We don't know whether he was the sower or the water. It very well may be that he was water that day and somebody else had planted a seed in somebody's life. Only God knows. But at the end of the day, he can't produce an increase. He can't produce a harvest. He simply is either planting or watering. Planting or watering. Planting or watering. Those are the two things that I get to participate in. Outside of that, I have to take my hands off of it. What's another way that I sow seed? Well, I sow seed in prayer. The scripture talks about entering into our prayer closet and shutting the door. In the book of Matthew, Jesus said, enter into that prayer closet and shut the door. And when thou hast prayed to thy Father which is in secret, thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. What does that sound like to you? Does that sound like somebody who goes every day after they prayed something and reminds God of it? On day one, Lord, you know that my family is in need of, Lord, you know that this person, and then next day, Lord, it's me again. I haven't seen any movement. I prayed for my son. I prayed for my daughter. I prayed for my mother, my father. I prayed for my aunt, my uncle. I prayed for healing in this situation, and I still feel the same that I felt. Or do we trust that when I speak a God-given word in prayer, that a seed is planted in the spirit realm And oh, I may have inspiration to pray about that 2 or 3 weeks from now. Or maybe it's not even me who has the inspiration to pray. Maybe he moves upon somebody else's heart in prayer and they begin to pray about that same situation unbeknownst to me. It may have been me that planted the seed and it may be another prayer that waters it. But it's going to be God and God alone that brings it to pass. And so I pray in a confidence, I pray with a confidence that every word that is spoken under the rhema of God, every word that is spoken under his utterance and his inspiration, it's a seed, it's water that's being planted in the Holy Ghost. So I don't have to worry about it. Hey, Lord, I'm done for the day. Made it through my list. Just making sure you got everything. No. I, like the farmer, have to go in, go to bed, find rest and peace in the fact that he's heard me. This is difficult for us in our humanity, and it's easier for some than others. But I'm telling you, the peace of God that comes, the peace of God that comes when I release it and understand it's a seed that's been planted in the Spirit. I'm not going to lay awake at night and worry about it anymore. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time fretting about it and trying to make it work and make things happen, but I'm just going to step back and watch the hand of God at work. Brother Mason's going to come close us out in just a minute, but I wonder if you'd lift your hands right now. And if you've been trying to micromanage God, if you've been trying to get in the middle of what God is doing in your life, if you've tried to interfere or intercede in the situations that God is working in your life, I want you to release that right now. I want you to find a place of forgiveness right now. Repentance before him right now. Father, I've tried to handle this. I've tried to manhandle it. I've tried to encourage it. I've tried to fertilize it with my thoughts and my actions, but I'm releasing it to you right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. This is your work, Father. This is your seed. I'm planting it in your kingdom. You're in control of all of these things. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, right now, we commit all things into your hands, Lord. We trust you completely. We surrender everything to you now. Everything that I have tried to hold on too closely and too tightly, I release it to you now. Have your will and have your way. I surrender completely and totally to you. Take control and do whatsoever seems good to you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Last week, Saturday, we were teaching a music class, and I've made it very, very clear to the non-Islamic people that would come to our music school that if you want help with your music with your church and for your church people, part of what I will teach, I'll teach you skills, I'll teach about music administration, but I have to teach you worship. And worship has to be in spirit and in truth. And so I can't just teach you about the spirit, I have to give you the truth. And they said, okay, that's fine. Following, I think I had been teaching over 2 days, nearly 10 hours. And one guy got so excited, and he said, Raymond, my friend, he's a new believer, and he's just recently come to our church, and he would like to receive the Holy Ghost. Will you pray with him to receive the Holy Ghost? And I'll be honest with you, I did not want to pray with anybody. I was praying everybody would leave. I could get some rest. I could try to recover, and I was very spent. And I said, let me ask him. I said, sir, would you like to receive the Holy Ghost? And I'm thinking in my mind, maybe he'll say no, that it was just his friend who wanted him to. And I would say, well, God's not going to fill you, so go home. He looks at me and he says, I think it'd be nice. Yeah, I think it'd be good. I said, okay. I said, well, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. I said, sit down. I said, I'm going to tell you about the Holy Ghost. And of course, his friend is sitting there. He's like, oh, Raymond, he already knows. And I turned to him and I said, you be quiet. You just translate what I tell you to translate. We're going to do it. We're going to go through it. We're going to tell him about the Holy Ghost. And I told him. And I just didn't hold anything back. I was just not really. I try to be kind and generous and loving as best I can. And at this point, I was just tired. And so I said, well, if you want it, there it is. You can have that. And as I began to explain to him, and of course his friend said that, well, he knows, I said, we'll make sure. I said, if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the first thing you have to do is repent of your sins. You have to. I said, repent. And I said, yeah. We were really doing this Bible study in three languages, and I was helping my interpreter to translate into Russian so he would understand, and then from Russian into the national language. And so he explained repentance. Repentance is more than just saying you're sorry, right? It's more than just, oopsie, I made a mistake. I said, but it's making up in your mind, I don't want to live that way anymore. And so I'm going to turn and follow after God to the best of my ability. I'm going to serve God. I looked at the young man. I said, have you repented of your sins? And his friend next, oh, yeah, he's already done. I said, have you repented of your sins? Yeah, I think so, yeah. I said, well, let's do it again just to make sure. So we stood and we prayed. That's just maybe 45 seconds, not long. I said, we don't have to take a whole long time. We're not going to beg God to forgive us. We're going to ask God to forgive us, and we're going to believe that he has. It's that simple. I said, did you repent of your sins? Yes, I repented. Okay. You believe God has forgiven you? Yes, I believe. I said, okay, the next part, and this is the part where so many people seem to struggle with receiving the Holy Ghost. I said, the next part is you have to surrender everything to God. Everything. You cannot hold anything back from God if you want to receive the Spirit of God. I said, have you surrendered? He said, His friend said, yeah, he's already done that. And I said, well, let's pray a prayer of surrender right now. We did. We prayed. And then I said, now what we're going to do is we're going to just thank God for the promise that he has given us. I said, and when I lay my hands on you, you're going to feel the love of God in a way that you've never felt before. And when you're ready to receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to begin to speak in tongues. He raised his hands, laid hands on him, and we began to pray. And in about 15 seconds, I laid my hands on him. And he just started shaking, and he just stopped. He stopped praying. And he said, I've been around for a little while, but I've never felt that. He said, I'm not sure if I'm ready for that. I said, well, then here's what's going to happen. I said, when you go home, you think about this and you pray about it. I said, and you decide. If you want it, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost today. But it's your choice. You have to decide. But it will take total surrender to God. Now, those of you under the sound of my voice that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost already, you know what I'm talking about. But unfortunately, in the life of the believer, sometimes we think that that was only important at the very beginning. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live not I, but Christ who lives in me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Every day, sacrifice, every day. It's your reasonable service. But somehow we get this idea that, well, you know, now I've been doing this for a while. I know what I'm doing. Probably I can control, it's exactly what I can take care of this. I can take care of it. Thank you, Lord, for how you helped me at the beginning, but I've grown up a little bit. I learned a few things. I got this now. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. The same way that you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost at the beginning, is the same way that God didn't have you do that at the beginning just so it would be a one-time deal. It was so that he could teach you how to surrender more every day. See, it started with me surrendering myself, but then it turns into now I'm surrendering my family. Friend, I'll be real with you. One of the hardest conversations God and I ever had was when God said, do you trust me enough to take care of your family? Oh, in front of the church. Oh, yes, of course. Praise God. Oh, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yeah. But in that secret closet of prayer when he says, but what if it's not you? What if it's your family? What if I'm calling you to a place that I'll require more? I said, God, that's, you made me a man. I'm supposed to take care of my family. Yes. Yeah, it's normal. It's a natural process. It's how I was raised. Yeah. Be a man. Take care of your family. But God said, but are you willing to put them in my hands and still answer the Lord gives and the Lord takes away? What about the hopes and the dreams that you've had in your career and you've had, well, okay, you know, God, I'm willing to, you know, let all of that stuff go. Here was another one God gave me. He said, I can appreciate that you're willing to die for me, but are you willing to live for me? I will. It hit me hard. I appreciate that you're willing to die for me, but are you willing to live for me? The only way you can live for God is you have to die to yourself. The only way that you can become great in the kingdom of God is you have to become the servant. This is God's kingdom. This is God's kingdom I'm talking about. I don't get to control and dictate and say, well, I'm going to say how things are going to be if I want to be a part of God's kingdom. Say, I serve God. I have to serve God with my hand open. Yeah. So God will put what he wants. Just as easily God will take what he wants. I get into trouble when I'm not surrendered and I begin to lock up. And I begin to try to control. Oh, God, help me. God, help us as a church. I say this, if you're seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, try surrender. If you feel like you haven't had a breakthrough in a little while as a child of God, try surrender. I remember at the age of 17, I received a phone call at about 2 o'clock in the morning. It was my grandfather. And he just, I don't know, he started rambling. He just started talking for about 30, 45 minutes. And finally he said, you know, Raymond, I've been thinking about what you've been talking about. And I just don't know if I can surrender 100%. He said, I'm willing to give God 99, but there's 1% that I don't know. I never had that conversation with him, to the best of my knowledge, in my life. I don't know what he was talking about. But he said, I just can't. I answered, I was 17. Man, I was so smart when I was 17. I wish I was that smart again today. That I said, from a purely logical standpoint, if you've already given him 99, why don't you just try one more? And he said, you know, I'll do that. He said, when are you coming to town? I need you to baptize me in Jesus' name. I didn't even know that's what we were talking about. Do you see, when you have released into God's hands, I'm talking about finances. Oh, help us, Lord. I'm talking about relationships. Oh, hear me, young people. I know what it's like to put a relationship on the altar because God says, I demand that as a sacrifice. I'm talking about whatever God puts in my hand to say, okay, Lord, take it, give it, but I want to just be a conduit for your presence. I'm going to plant those seeds. I'm going to go forth and weep bearing my precious seed. I'm going to water as best I can. But at the end of the day, that's God who's going to give the increase. Lift your hands with me all across this house, would you? The Holy Ghost would want us to surrender some things. And only you and God know what that thing is that God would ask of you. But friend, don't be afraid. It's the most incredible thing when you can trust God completely. When you can put it into his hands and say, God, whatever it is that you want to do with me, whatever it is that you want to do in my life, I'm broken before you, Lord. I'm surrendered completely to you. Stand with me all across this house, would you? The Holy Ghost, I feel this so strong. I know the hour's late and it's time to go, but the Holy Ghost is calling and reaching for some people to say, are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to not just sing about I surrender all, but actually surrender all? Are you willing to rededicate yourself? Only God knows. But I'm not looking for you to put on a good face in front of me or in front of pastor or anybody here in the church. I'm looking for you to get alone with God and say, God, I need you. I need you. I can't do it on my own. This is just what I feel to do. If you want to take some time, rededicate to the Lord, I want to invite you to come down here to the front, just you and God, and I want you to just talk to Him. Come on. Come on down. If you want to take some time and you just want to, like, God, I think I've given everything, but I'll go ahead and just give you I'll give you everything I got. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you want to experience what it's like to be surrendered to God, I want to invite you to come. The love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us, is here right now. And God wants to love you. God wants to love you.
There is more than
you've already given Him so much. Why don't you just go ahead and give Him that last little bit? Just you and Jesus right now.
Will your heart and soul say yes?
God, I'm not holding anything back, but I'm giving everything.
There is more.
I want to know what it's like. I want to know what it's like to be completely in your hand, safe and secure, knowing that you are fighting for me.
Will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? There is more than I require of thee. just say yes, yes, yes. I say yes, 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 oh yes, yes. I say yes, 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 yes. My heart says yes, yes, yes. I say yes, 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 oh yes, yes. I've made up in my mind, I will say yes, yes, yes. Jesus.